Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
And our story out west begins with a party going on in the house of Billy.
Who are you?
I'm the reporter, don't you know?
And where is Pastor Dave?
Pastor Dave. There's no Pastor Dave on this script at all. Nope. So our story out west begins
out west? That's supposed to be the story out east.
No, that was last year's story. This is a sequel, a new one, a different one, a follow-up, and all those things. So it's out west, my dear.
All right.
Our story begins with Billy at his house, at his birthday party, announcing to his friends at the birthday party that he was going to go out west and make it big for himself. As one of his friends pointed out, he was rather big at 450 pounds, and he said, "Exactly! I'm going to be big and I'm going to make it big." And with that, the next day, Billy got onto a train and rode all the way to Los Angeles on the train, thinking, "What shall I do? Where shall I go?" He thought to himself, he knows music, and so he will be a musician. So he entered an eating establishment.
"May I take your order?"
He offered, instead of buying food, he would play them a song.
"We ain't got none of those here."
And so he left, realizing he had the wrong place. He entered the next door. Oddly enough, he wasn't sure what to do, so he put in 2 coins, and then the machine started, and he realized it was the laundromat. So he went on to the next place, and then he got a brilliant idea. Not only food, but you need also drink. And so he saw 2 men in black. Yes, men in black. That's what the script here says. And he followed them in because they were carrying a whiskey barrel in between them. Little did he know it wasn't carrying whiskey, but something else that he wasn't supposed to have seen. Very shortly after, Billy found himself... unconscious, laying in the street, tossed out that front door. As Billy lay there in the gutter for several hours, soon came along a computer repairman.
"Where is this place? Hope it doesn't take long. I got church to get through tonight. Oh, it stinks down here. Ugh. Another drunk passed out in the gutter. Ah, here's my door."
A woman dressed in hospital scrubs, with blood smeared down the front, rather disheveled, walks by.
"Oh, what a crazy shift at the hospital today. Blood everywhere. I just need a drink to forget. Oh, what's this? I'm not going to stop and help. I pulled my shift already. Where is my drink?"
A well-dressed man with a clean-shaven face, holding a big book in one hand and tracts in the other, walks by.
"I'm here in this city of sin and debauchery. Repent of your sin, or you'll be struck down like this miserable wretch before me. I tell you the truth, it was his sins that brought the beating upon his body. Repent, I say, repent! You, oh man, covered with a devil's mark all over your body, just look at those tattoos. Have you no consideration of God and his handiwork, but that you had to cover it with graffiti?"
"Man, preacher man, go on with all that holier-than-thou attitude. I hate when people like you come and point the fingers and want to say this and that. You're one of us, too. Go on with that."
Oh, dear me. I don't know if I like the looks of this next gentleman coming along. Actually, I wouldn't call him a gentleman. I think he's a rather mean man. He is disheveled, with torn jeans and a shirt that barely is over his body. He's got tattoos all the way up and down his arms. Oh, my, as I look a little more, there are tattoos on his neck, his face, even his ears.
It's too early in the morning for all this kind of... Hey, what happened to you? Man, you look like the end of a street fight. Man, you remind me of Humpty Dumpty. Let's try to put you back together again.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who need help, but at the same time, there's so many scams out there for of people who seemingly want help.
Boy, are there ever.
But they're just trying to get your money.
Yeah. You know, I was at a church function once, and somebody came to the door, and they said, oh, please, please, I'm desperate. My child needs medicine, and we got to get to the Walmart before it closes, and we need just $10 to get this medicine. Please, please help us.
The one that frustrates my wife the most is when she's pulls up to a red light, stops, and someone comes immediately over and knocks on her window and wants her to roll it down. Please, can I have some? Same type of story. Same story.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the after a hurricane. People everywhere are saying, send money into the hurricane relief. Send money in and you'll feel better. You'll feel like you've done so much. Just send as much money as you can to help these people who are affected by the hurricane.
The one that gets me is when I'm watching MeTV and my old shows, and they'll come on with this real sad music. Please, for 60 cents a day, you can help a starving child in Africa. I really wonder if it's helping that child or what. We read from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 30.
Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the man who showed mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
Thank you.
guess this means we do have to help everyone after all.
Well, yes and no. Maybe yes, maybe no. Jesus said this, actually, in a context which we didn't read. We didn't read verses 25 to 29. Let's go ahead back and read those verses. This is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and 29, and this is why Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
So Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan to that question, who's my neighbor? But also in the framework of that great Jewish saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind, and all your strength. You did that really well. I'm sure the Jews back then could rattle it off, just like we can sometimes rattle things off. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's so much that you don't even realize maybe what you're even saying. So the first thing I'd like to ask, Cecilia, do you love your neighbor?
Well, it depends on what you mean by neighbor, I suppose. But but I just moved into a new apartment, and so I don't really know my neighbors very well.
Well, let's just take that for an example. How about at your last place? Did you always love your neighbor? Were you always good to your next-door neighbors?
I didn't.
Can you think of a time you weren't?
Well, she sort of started it. We had this tree that fell, and when the tree people came to cut up the tree, they went through her yard, which we didn't tell them to, but she came over and was very angry with us and was demanding that we give her the landlord's phone number and this and that, and we said, wait a minute, you can't.
It doesn't sound like that ended really pretty. All right. Do you love God?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you see God, know God, sit with God? I mean, physically, is he in your kitchen?
Not in my kitchen, no.
Okay. Well, you have a neighbor who you see, talk with, you can relate with, and you don't love that one. Well, it only follows, or it didn't always, so it follows then we don't always love God, though we say we do.
Well, God's different. God's God.
Uh-huh. Well, the point of this is, and this is what the lawyer was trying to do, justify himself by saying, well, I love God. Okay, show me that, Jesus was saying. Do you love your neighbor? And he gave the extreme example. And that's why he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, no Samaritan is going to go out of his way to help a Jew like that. And no Jew back then would help a Samaritan. They hated each other. We have situations like that even today. That, I mean, the disciples probably thought, this is absurd, Jesus. What are you talking about? That can't be. But it would have come to their mind later, when Jesus was just walking along, and they grabbed him, and they whipped him, and they beat him, and they didn't just leave him on the road for dead. They strung him up high, nailing him to a cross. We're going to kill you. And they did. You see, Jesus became the robber for you and me. And he became the Good Samaritan. It's the great switch. Because really, spiritually, we're the ones dead left on the road because of our sins. Jesus, though he was innocent, he's the one who died for you and me. And that way, he is taking care of you and me. No, we don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We don't love our neighbors ourselves. But God loves you and me. And that is the first and most important thing we take away from this. Our God loves us and forgives us. He is the one who went out of the way, paid the price with his death and resurrection so that we would be healed. Mm.
Oh, good. So the Good Samaritan story is just about Jesus and how he is the Good Samaritan for us. So that means we don't have to love our neighbor, right?
No, it's not quite like that. Jesus was indicating who his neighbor was, and the commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. It didn't say, let your neighbor walk over you and take everything from you. It didn't say, go ahead and put yourself in harm's way, and so that you're always giving everything away. The command is, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes love means saying, no, I'm not going to help you, because it wouldn't be the best thing for you. And sometimes the answer is, yeah, I'm going to help, and it's going to be risky, and I might get in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway because this person needs the help.
Well, then, how do I know who to help and who not to help?
You know, it's an interesting thing. When our kids were born, we got the book on raising children.
Yes.
And Tori, I can't believe it, and Deb will testify to this, she followed that book like a blueprint. I mean, at 1 year old, they will begin to walk. So what did Tori start to do? At 11 months and a couple weeks, she started to walk. I mean, it was just bullseye, bing, 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 bing. But then came Meg, and we could have thrown the book out or burnt it in the bonfire because it just didn't match her. You know, there are some things that follow a book and are easy to say, this is how you do it. And then there are some things like, no, it doesn't follow. It doesn't work. It's not the same. And so with that question, there is no easy answer. It is usually, well, Lord, should I? Should I not? And then follow your instincts of what the Lord is leading you to do. We continue with the reading of the last four verses of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. When I used to hear this story, I used to side with Mary all the time. But then we all know that I love sitting and not doing work when I can get away with it.
Ha!
Now, though, as I've gotten a bit older, I start to think about it the way Martha might have thought about it. I mean, when I have someone special over for dinner, I love to cook a good meal for them.
That makes sense, yeah. Be as nice and kind and courteous as you can. Make it a special time.
Mm-hmm. And to make the best meal I can. And
so, yeah, Martha was doing that.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
So if I had someone, a sister or whatever, who was just sitting there in the house, just listening while I was doing all the work. Mm-hmm. And I mean, remember, this wasn't just Jesus. This was at least 12 other people besides Jesus.
Big meal.
And so, yes, big
meal. She needed some help.
And so I can't quite blame Martha for wanting the help. So, and it doesn't tell us. All it tells us is what Jesus said. If I were Martha, I would have felt pretty embarrassed, maybe even a little humiliated. What is all this about? I mean, does this mean that, like, if this were modern day, I'd be wanting to make roast beef and mashed potatoes and corn or green beans and maybe a nice chocolate cake, and Jesus might have been happy with, I don't know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Is that what this means?
Nope. It's not that at all. There's a couple things going on here.
Okay.
That we need to understand about the culture and the text.
Okay.
First, what was the story just told before this?
The Good Samaritan.
And the Good Samaritan did what?
He helped.
He went out of his way and served and was gracious. What's Martha doing?
She's serving and being gracious.
Yeah. And first Jesus commends one, and then he says not to the other.
Yes, I noticed that.
Secondly, what does he say to Martha?
You're worried and upset.
Yeah. It's one Greek word, actually. An older translation said you're anxious about and troubled. That word, that same Greek word, comes up later, two chapters later, where Jesus is talking in chapter 12, 25, and he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Same word. But notice, he didn't say to Martha, you're worried and you're anxious about it. Seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say that.
No.
And you know why? Because her heart was seeking first the kingdom of God. She wanted to serve Jesus. Which is really a second aspect of this text in juxtaposition to the Good Samaritan. Service is good, but there's more to that life in the kingdom than just service. There are choices to be made. And sometimes those choices, even in God's kingdom, even in his church, we have to make choices. And sometimes they're subtle, and it's almost like none are wrong, but there's only one right. And the one right is to take time for God's word. That's really what Mary was doing. Oh, Mary, sitting at his feet. Did you know that was unheard of? Men were supposed to listen at the feet of the master.
I wondered about that.
That's the other cultural thing going on. The women served. And believe you me, there was a lot of talk the next night and the next night, because then the men, well, what else did he say? What else did he say? What else did he say? And so the men had to listen and be able to repeat for their families. It was a very special way of learning. And if the man didn't and wasn't able to share that, he would be in trouble, and he'd probably go out to the doghouse for a couple of nights, and he wouldn't be very well. So it was is part of their what went on, because not everybody could be by the master. And so basically the head of the house were there, and that's it. And then the head of the houses were expected to tell the families. So for Martha to be there, that was unheard of.
You mean Mary to be there.
Mary, yeah. And then for Martha to talk to Jesus that way, woo, that's another. Here are two women.
It wasn't just, Lord, would you please ask her to help me?
Right.
But it was, tell her to help me.
Yeah. So there's some amazing things that women did here. Wonderful things. But it points out that even in the kingdom of God, we have choices to make. Service certainly is an important one to make. Serve and help the needs of others. But not over and top of neglecting God's word.
And now that brings us to the end of this episode of
Wait
How
a minute.
The West
What are
was
you doing
won.
Back?
I am the reporter, giving the final analysis on our episode of this day.
Our episode?
Indeed. Here it is, written on the script. Reporter finishes the show.
Where is Pastor Dave?
And here it says, I am able to give an editorial comment, and so I will editorialize.
Oh. Heaven help us.
In the kingdom of God, what is most important is to serve. But service can be sometimes difficult, risky, and hard. And for those who are visually impaired or blind or other disabilities, it may seem like you aren't serving at all, but that is not true, because one needs to keep their eyes open to see the situations around you, and when you do, you will find opportunity, because
that is true.
God is involved.
That is true.
But the last thing we need to report is, with Mary and Martha, it isn't all about service, but we also need to remember God and taking time for Him. That's my editorial comment.
Good. Now, can we tell the listeners where to write to in case they want to comment?
That is not on the script. I don't think I can.
Oh, well,
my dear.
Well, I can. You can write to info, I-N-F-O, at not-alone, N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E, .net.
That's a funny little address there.
Yeah, well. And always remember...
Remember what?
That wasn't on your script either?
No. Oh. I'm ad-libbing here.
Okay, ad-lib the last part then.
Oh.
Always remember...
We are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Pastor Jim Kirchenman, computer repair guy and preacher man. Kathy Kirchenman, nurse. Danny Lawrence, Good Samaritan. And Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn, interlude musicians.
And now, a few goffs.
And we're testing again.
And we're testing again. Mm-hmm. And then there's the I can't remember what it was.